What's up, everybody? So we are back with the third episode of The Baseball Life, number 17 of The Hybrid Life, which I will say, I read a stat, 94% of all podcasts stop before episode 16. So we are in the top 7% of all podcasts that go past episode 16. Now, we're still working out the kinks with the audio. So it's going to be something that is a work in progress. We really need to, I'm a one-man show. So I'm working on to get better audio quality. I really, really love audio quality. And this is by far the worst audio quality of all the podcasts we've done. This week we have Darnell McDonald. He is an ex-big leaguer, played with the Whites, the Cubs, the Red Sox, not the White Sox, the Orioles. He's been all over. Really, really great dude. He's a local guy here in Arizona. He's doing some really, really cool things post baseball career. Him and I actually might be working together down the road, which is really something exciting, and it'll be something that we touch upon in part two. This is part one. We broke this up into two parts because it's rather lengthy, and I don't want to get into really long podcasts and have people tune out or not catch everything because they're too long. So this is part one of the interview I did with Darnell. It's really, really good, informative. This one's going to touch more upon what he did in his baseball career, how he got into professional baseball, his backstory, and things like that. But we will touch a little bit about the mental stuff that he does. He was the mental coach for the Cubs last year. He's gone away from that now to try and reach more people, but it's still something he's really passionate about. It's a really great episode. I really hope you like it. So please let me know what you think. Before you do anything, subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to our podcast, give us a rating if you can. I cannot tell you enough how much that helps. I know it's something that a lot of people don't think about, but it takes 5 seconds and it really helps our podcasts a lot. Also check out our sponsors, Zinger Bats at zingerbats.com. If you put in the code HFC15, you get 15% off of all your orders. And they are really, really great quality wood bat. They're doing a ton of stuff with travel and youth baseball now, which a lot of wood bat companies do not do. Most of the time, those wood bat companies give the not so great wood to the younger kids and save the really good wood for the college and pro guys. Zinger is making it a point to expand their business into youth baseball so younger kids can swing wood bats and get the best quality wood that you can get for that age group. So I really appreciate if you go check them out. It's a really good company, and it's something that you know, everybody can use at any age group. Let's get right into the episode. Darnell McDonald on The Baseball Life. Let's go. We are here with Darnell McDonald, a former MLB player. I'll let him go through his background, but I wanted to have Darnell on because he has a really unique background post-baseball career. He was obviously an elite player for a long time, but found a really good way to do what he wanted to do after he got out of playing and still also being involved in baseball too. So I'm going to let you talk about, just give some people a little bit about your background, like how you got into baseball, how you got started.
Well, let's see. You know, I started playing baseball at a very young age. I grew up in Denver, Colorado, went to Cherry Creek High School, was fortunate to play for a coach by the name of Mark Johnson. Been there, I think, I'd say 50 years at that high school, and You know, we won three state championships. Wow. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Is he still there?
He's still there.
You close to him still?
He is. You know, I still talk to him. He's really probably the first person that really instilled, like, his love for baseball rubbed off on me and everyone else that he comes into contact with. We all say, you know, he's gonna die on the baseball field. You know, literally. Mm-hmm. That's how much he loves the game. So, you know, I also played with a lot of great players there as well. By the name of Brad Lidge, Josh Bard.
Oh, wow. They went there? I know. I've had some encounters with Brad. My childhood friends were in a fairly large band out of Chicago. And when he pitched for the White Sox, he heard one of their songs. And he started coming out to their song when he would come out of the bullpen.
What band is that?
They're called the Love Hammers.
Love Hammers. I'd like to check out the Love Hammers.
Yeah. I mean, they don't put out music anymore, but their lead singer was on Rockstar in Excess. Remember that show? Remember in Excess. They were looking for their new lead singer, and he made it all the way to the last two, and then he ended up taking second. And that's how Brad had heard of them. It was just like a crazy circle, but they're diehard White Sox fans too, that entire band. So it was really cool for them to have someone on the White Sox do that. And when they won the World Series with 05, that's when my friends were the most popular, and they played the national anthem on their guitars for a couple of the White World Series games at Comiskey at the time. It was pretty cool. So I didn't interrupt
you. Were you there?
No.
You're from Chicago?
Yeah, but I hate the White Sox. I'm a Cubs fan. But no, I wasn't even living there at the time. I was in Dallas, actually. I would go nowhere near that place.
So all your life, Cubs.
My dad grew up a Cubs fan, and he's from the South Side, and just, I guess it was just, plus WGN, it was the only baseball you could watch every single day. So I still, to this day, everyone talks about how fair weather Cub fans are, but I think it has to do with growing up, a lot of people my age and older could only watch the Cubs because that's all that was on TV. WGN was national, so people in Arizona, people that didn't have baseball teams to watch, only watched the Cubs, so that's how they became such big fans. Everywhere I go to see the Cubs, it's always more Cubs fans than everywhere.
True story. And growing up in Denver, we didn't have a baseball team. I watched a lot of Cubs games as well growing up. You know, a big fan of Rhino.
You were?
Andre Dawson.
Sean Dunston was my favorite.
Sean Dunston. I wanted to play shortstop like Sean Dunston. I wanted to have a good arm like Sean Dunston. You know, we didn't get a team out there until I think 94. You know, Rockies, Blake Street Bombers. But up until then, I watched a lot of Cubs games.
That's awesome. So, like you want to know.
In 97, I got drafted by the Baltimore Orioles. Had signed in the first round. And it was actually a tough decision because I had a full ride scholarship to play football and baseball at the University of Texas.
Football? I didn't know that. I played football.
That's great. I also won three state championships in high school.
By the way, he won't say this, but he was the number one high school player in the country too at the time. You were ranked number one high school player in the country in baseball.
In baseball, so yeah, and having that football scholarship made it a really tough decision what I was going to do, but I really looked at it as it was a win-win situation either way. But I went to University of Texas and played both two sports or decided to play baseball. I didn't, you know, I come from a family, we didn't have a whole lot of money, so to have someone offer me that type of money was, I really was like, I can't turn this down.
Now, because they knew that, your options, did you get more than you would have normally gotten because they wanted to keep you out of football, away from doing that?
Well, yeah, it was gonna take a hefty amount to get your pass up, that type of situation. Get your education and play two sports at the university like that. And I ended up signing really late, because actually the year before is when they had a, they found a loophole in the draft. And so, you know, it was like three players that signed for $10 million. So the following year, they really didn't know what the market was gonna be. That being said, I ended up signing to play. My first season was in 98 with the Orioles. You know, and then through that time is just when life started to happen.
Did your brother and your cousin have an influence on whether or not you signed? Because your brother played pro ball too. Was he already in pro ball, or is he still in college?
Yeah, he was in pro ball already. He was coming up to the Yankees organization.
And James McDonald, who a lot of the people from Chicago would know, pitched for the Pirates for a long time, is also Darnell's cousin, so he was playing pro ball at the same time too. Or is he younger than you?
Yeah, he's younger.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. I don't know how much younger, but he hadn't signed
yet. Okay.
But yeah, they. I mean, I had other. You know, I had an uncle that played professional basketball with the Golden State Warriors. I had another uncle that played for the Los Angeles Rams. James, dad. You know, so he played with Eric Dickerson.
For real?
That's awesome. My dad, he played, he played professional baseball at the Pirates before going back to school and playing football at Colorado State. So they're, obviously.
Decently athletic.
Yeah. stuff runs in the family.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say it really, like, influenced my decision, but it was more, like, either way, it's going to be a good decision. I don't think, you know, and still to this day, I don't look back and say, man, I wish I would have done this. I'm glad I made the decision I made. I ended up signing, like I said, I ended up signing in 97. I played my first season in 98. 99, my mother passed away in 99. And, you know, from there, I really didn't even know if I wanted to play baseball anymore. You know, I went through, a couple seasons where it was like I was going through the motions. The thing about professional sports is that people that come watch the games, they don't know what's going on in your life, right? They just know what they see on the field. Some scouts are seeing you play, they're like, no, this guy, he doesn't want it. He's going through the motions. He don't want it.
Attitude.
Right. And they may come see you one time, and that one time they turn in this report, you know, you start getting labeled. It happens a lot in baseball. And,
which is crazy, because that's a sport that has the most games to judge somebody on. So it ain't football where you play once a week and you judge a guy in 1 week. You could go see a guy in baseball one time, he's still got 95 more games to play. You're gonna judge him on one game. It's crazy.
It is crazy, but it happens. It's kind of like 8 miles. Sometimes you get one shot, because it can work the other way also.
Sure.
It takes that one person that likes you, and the next thing you know, you're playing 10 years in the big leagues. So that's why I really try to, tell these young players is that it sounds cliche, but it's so true. Like, you never know. The first time someone gets to see you play, what do you want them to say about your game when they walk away from that game? I think when you're young, you don't understand it quite as much. And as you get older, things start to happen, you get released, and, all of your life starts to happen. You start to appreciate the game a lot more. And that other cliche is like, you never know it's going to be your last game. You start to understand that a little better, and as I got older, that's the approach I started to take. It's like, man, this might be the last game I played. So I played more from a place of gratitude, just happy to be here, and that's why I actually got called up with the Boston Red Sox. I would say, you know, I was up and down years before, you know, different teams before that. But in 2010, getting called up to the Red Sox, I would say that was kind of like my welcome to the big leagues. Like, I really felt like I was in the big leagues. Mm-hmm. Like, with the Red Sox. And, you know, at that time, that's when I was like, man, I'm playing with house money right now. I'm not even supposed to be here. And that's when I played my best. When I took that type of approach. Having the opportunity to play with so many awesome players. They're the Hall of Famers. David Ortiz, Pedroia, Euculus, you know, the list goes on. And so playing with these type of guys is really how I learned to be a big leaguer. And I tell guys, you know, you want to be a big leaguer, watch big leaguers. You know, you learn everything you need to know. We were just talking about this earlier. It doesn't matter what you want to do. If you want to start a business, you know, you want to be a tennis player, whatever. Like,
surround yourself with those people. Yeah.
Watch. Ask questions. You know,
that's the thing people say. It's true. It's true. I mean, you don't. Do they have to be your inner circle? No. Your friends can still be your friends, but you should still figure out ways to least network with people that you want to like strive to be like, not, you know, not that people that do other things that maybe you're not into aren't worthy of being around you, but if you want to be able to do something that you want to do, you should find the people that are the best at that and figure out ways to talk to them, whatever. That's why I'm doing this. I talk to all you guys and I'm jealous of that played in the big leagues and did stuff that I always wanted to do but never got to do.
And we didn't talk about all the long bus rides though. So don't be jealous. We didn't even talk about the 18-hour bus rides and, you know, those 10 years in the minor leagues, man. So that's a fact, you know, that's another thing that kids today they don't realize. You know, with SportsCenter and YouTube and social media, like everyone, all they see is highlights.
Yeah,
that's it. You know, it's easy. But a lot of people, they don't see the work that goes into being good, being great. You know, listen to Kobe Bryant. Yeah, I want to be the Kobe Bryant, but he took pieces from Michael Jordan, he took pieces from, you know, Allen Iverson, he took pieces from everybody, and man, he made it his game.
Mm-hmm.
But always the first one in the gym, a lot of times the last one to leave. This guy's working out at 4 a.m. So if you want anything worth having, then you gotta sacrifice. And ask yourself, what are you willing to sacrifice to get this? And you know, that's the thing that a lot of people aren't willing to do. You know, everyone wants to be the guy. So you gotta do those guy things.
Yes, or instant gratification if they want it like right now.
No process, they don't process anything. And that's the thing, you can't cheat the process. You know, it doesn't matter, you can't cheat the process. And that's what baseball and life has taught me. You know, for me, I want things right away too. Like, I wanna go for the home run as well, but understanding that a single and another single and another single, all those add up and those are just good. And so when you get to wherever you want to go, the things that you remember when you get there are the process. You know, the grind, the process, and, you know, consistency and discipline, and all these great players that I was able to play with, those are the things that I took away from their game watching them. Man, David Ortiz is the ultimate superstar, you know? Like, that's a legitimate superstar. And I say legitimate, like, I've been out of the country with this guy, and people know who Big Poppy is. It's hilarious. They're screaming, man, you know, Big Poppy. But, you know, the way he carries himself, the way he interacts with people,
He appreciates
his heart, his generosity, gives back. And I look at someone like a, that's what I see. That's a superstar. Mm-hmm. Then there's guys like Mike Cameron. He took me under his wing, and another guy that showed me how to be a big leaguer.
Met him a bunch of times. Super nice guy.
He's the best, man. He's the best, and his personality is, he has an infectious personality, and those are the type of guys that you need on a team. Those are the type of guys that, you win with. When you talk about chemistry and those type of things that you can't measure.
Analytics, yeah.
Yeah, those are the type of things that help teams win. Then you have guys like Dustin Pedroia, where he, first person in the cage every day, first person to the field. I never heard this guy say, I'm in a slump. He could be 0-for-20, he's walking around the clubhouse telling, Mac, I'm gonna get this guy. This guy sucks. I'm gonna kill this guy. That's another guy that brings that, and it's not one day, 2 days. No, this is every day, day in and day out, 162 games.
180 days. That's insane. So
that's another guy that I got, I have the ultimate respect for after seeing what he does on a day-to-day basis. That's what it takes. That's what it takes. And so everyone, you got people say, man, I'm going to be the next Dustin Pedroia. He makes people want to think like that. This guy's 5'6", 160 pounds, hitting homers. I want to be the next Dustin Pedroia. But, like I said, first one at the field, first one in the cage, first one in the dugout, ready for the game. And this is
every day. For a long time.
Every day.
Long time.
Discipline and consistency. And like I said, if I take the things that I take away from watching different high level performers, like I said, they're passionate about what they're doing. They have fun. And discipline and consistency. They have routines. And they're consistent with those routines. And that's what I learned, really, what a big leaguer is,
That can carry over to life, too, like in general, whatever you're doing.
Absolutely. Baseball is life. To me, baseball is life. You talk about 162 games, you're playing every day, you're grinding, you're going to fail more than you succeed. How you deal with that failure is really ultimately determines where you're going to be. And that leads me to another thing. So you're playing a game that you're going to fail more than you succeed. Okay. So back to that, being the number one high school player coming out of high school. Talent, it wasn't about talent, man. I had all the talent in the world. Most talented. So you get to pro ball, everyone has talent. Separator is the dealing with the failure, dealing with the ups and downs, dealing with the day-to-day grind. And, that's why I'm so passionate about the mental side of the game, the mental skills. When I say skills, that is, you can develop that and get better. And that's one thing that if I could go back and change anything about my playing career, be that. Not take more swings and anything like that. Be understanding that I could develop the mental side of my game as well as
that was something I was going to ask you. Like, talking about the failure part, most guys were like you. They never knew what failure was because you're playing high school ball, if you're the best, you're the best. You're really not failing too often. And you get to the minors.
I hit 606 my senior year, just to put it
that's in context. 606.
You think you're going to hit 606 anywhere in pro ball? No.
Yes. So the mental side would help you, would have helped you cope with going 0 for 12 or 0 for 15 or 2 for 25 or something like that. Because that's something that you never encountered in your entire life leading up to that. So the first time that happens, it's got to be tough to be able to deal with. And not having that mental game separates, you know, going up to double A or triple A or to the big leagues or getting released or dropped down to short season or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's about having a resource, you know, for when shit happens, because it's going to happen. All right. So, you know, that's why I train. That's why I do yoga and meditation and all these things, because I know that things are going to happen in my life that I'm going to have to respond to. And the best way to respond to these things is with a clear, calm mind. And
you picked that up after baseball, correct?
After baseball. So actually, I started doing a little yoga toward the end of my career to supplement the workouts, and because everyone said, man, you're tight, you need to stretch. And so I started doing some yoga, but it wasn't until after I retired and, you know, went through more shit in my life. And then I found I started getting deeper in my yoga and meditation practice. At the same time, we were starting to develop the male skills program with the Chicago Cubs. And, you know, that's when I got certified to my 200-hour certification to teach yoga. But what yoga, you know, taught me, and because I always had, you know, coming up, you have coaches, they always, you know, you need to focus, you need to concentrate. You talk about playing the game pitch to pitch, right? We really didn't talk about, okay, how do we practice doing these things? And so when I started doing the practice of yoga and meditation, I started to understand how this relates to playing baseball, being in the moment, and, you know, that's basically what mindfulness is. Mindfulness is, you know, paying attention on purpose in the present moment without judgment. I think that without judgment is probably the most important thing, because it's not what happens to us, it's really our thoughts about what happens to us, right? So I started to understand, you know, more about, yeah, well, this mindfulness, we're basically practicing being in the zone, right? Because when you're in the zone, when you're playing your best, you're doing these things already, right? You're in this meditative state. Well, the good news is that you can practice being in that state. And even more importantly, you can practice catching yourself when you're not in that state. You know, so when they say, you talk about the game speeding up on you, so really that's the difference between the minor leagues and the major leagues. You know, all the players are good, minor leagues, major leagues, but guys are able to slow the game down faster. Mm-hmm. Guys are able to make adjustments faster, right? And the good players make really, really quick adjustments. You know, really great players make pitch-to-pitch adjustments.
Mm, on the fly.
Good players make at-bat-to-bat adjustments. Minor league, sometimes it's a week, sometimes it's a month, so on and so forth. So we can practice catching ourselves when that game starts speeding up on us, and we can refocus, we can reset, and come back to our intention, what we call, you know, because everyone has an intention. When you go to the plate, I hope you have an intention. I'm walking to the plate. My intention is to get a hit, I hope. If it's not, then you're probably playing the wrong sport anyway. You know what I'm saying? Because it doesn't matter what mental skills you do or what physical skills you do. If you don't believe you can execute those skills when you get out there, you're wasting your time. So number one, you gotta believe. And, you know, you practice these mental skills to have a resource that when this thing's happening, the umpire makes a bad call, you swing a bad pitch, we're able to reset, let it go, and come back to the next pitch. again, you know, even the mental skills, this doesn't give you, you know, not gonna guarantee you results, right? But we want to maximize all that hard work, and the way to maximize that hard work is to incorporate these mental skills. And by doing that, you're going to give yourself the best chance to execute when you need to execute. And that's really all that you can ask for, because, you know, once you sign that your name on that contract, your window is closing every day. And as you get older, you start to understand you're going to not be a baseball player longer than you're going to be a baseball player.
Right.
So as soon as you sign that contract, we got to maximize this time. All right. Maximize your business, because this is your business now. Another thing you got to realize, this is business. Yeah. When you sign a professional contract, you know, and you got to take care of your business.
Thank you all for listening to that episode. So as you can tell, the audio just really isn't great. What happened was I was recording on separate mics, and when I transferred it over to my main computer to do all this stuff, I somehow lost the audio file. So the audio that you're listening to is coming from the boom mic attached to the camera, which makes it not great. But, you know, it's better than nothing. So I, again, thank you. I appreciate you for listening and watching. We are going to do a part two. We'll come out next week. If you are interested in any of our services, obviously you can go to hybridfitclub.com. Everything is there, from online training, in-person training, sports-specific training, both in-person and online. We have a huge nutrition announcement coming out within the next month, and I'm telling you, when this comes out, it will be a game changer. There will not be a better place to do everything you need for fitness than Hybrid Fit Club. Also, check out our social medias, Hybrid Fit Club on Instagram and Facebook. Also, check mine out, The Kevin Bay, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you for listening, guys. Use the hashtag #AreYouAHybrider anytime you're in the gym doing some cool stuff. I love seeing when people do that. It's really, really cool to check out all the cool stuff you guys are doing. Check us out next week with all new episodes and our YouTube channel. We will be back better than ever. See ya!